AI in Action is brought to you by Aulis International, covering your business's staffing, consulting, and networking needs. Our host brings you the leading minds in AI, sharing their story, their success, and their advice. Focusing on fast-tracking you to the top, AI in Action cuts through the hype to help you kickstart your data science career. To listen to the latest AI in Action podcast, head over to www.aulis.com/podcast or subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Podcasts.
You're listening to AI in Action. I'm your host, JP Valentine. Our guest today is Nick Adams. Nick is the co-founder and managing partner of Differential Ventures. Nick, welcome to the show.
Thanks, JP. Great to be here.
Nick, let's start with yourself. Can you give us a bit of a background of your journey, where you first got started in tech? Talk us through some of the roles that you've held along the way, taking us up to just before you founded Differential Ventures.
Yeah, so I come from kind of the pure startup background in a lot of ways. Was a really a baseball player and a dropout lawyer in college. Worked in a law firm all through school. Was planning on going to law school. Worked in a law firm for a year right after graduation. Realized very quickly I really couldn't have hated anything more. So mercifully was hired into a startup in the Boston area back in 2004 or so. And got the idea of venture capital in my head at that point, but had a pretty unconventional background to VC. So just started building out the career from there. I was with a bunch of different startups, ranging from pure startup in the Boston area, 170 Systems I mentioned. Then I went and was one of the first employees in the U.S. for a software company based over in Helsinki, Finland. I really just had a great run there. Basically came in sales, later went on to, be pretty involved in marketing, running a sales organization and doing a bunch of product management. Went to a company called Opower after that. Was really where I got my hands dirty in the data world and data science world. Really brilliant company that went public in 2014, later acquired by Oracle in 2016. And then I joined a startup in the Boston area that had been around for a little while called Ridge Frameworks. Company had a successful exit, or founders had a successful exit a few years before that. Started Rage, bootstrapped it, and I came in right with their first institutional capital and launched a natural language processing engine for them that was focused on supplier risk, credit risk, and a little bit of just macro conditions and capital markets. I had a lot of fun doing that, and had a good outcome with that company. They later sold to Genpact. And along the way, I went back to school a couple of times. So I got my MBA at Northeastern up in Boston. And then I went back and did a master's in global finance, split between NYU and Hong Kong University of Science and Technology. And during that year, I was with my last startup. And that's when I really put my mind to it, that I had, a little bit of money behind me. And I felt like I had the right experience and the time was just right in my life to make the transition into venture capital. And fortunately, in my first week of grad school, I, partially went back to learn a bunch of new things and have a great life experience, but also find my way, network my way into venture capital and figure out where my path could be. And in my first week of school, I had a classmate tap me on the shoulder and say his brother, who was also an alumni of the program, was leaving a fund in New York. And I'd be happy to connect me. And so I did that, and I was connected to Laurel Toby over at Flatiron Investors, now Supernode, and was hired pretty quickly. And that kicked it off. I spent about a year and a half with Supernode as a venture partner, looked at and worked on a lot of great deals, and just made a decision for myself to go ahead and launch a new fund with a really specific focus on data and machine learning. And AI, because it had been so much of my focus as an employee and as an entrepreneur, and I felt like we were really just scratching the surface still of how companies use data to operate more efficiently. Yeah. So that was the background of how Differential came to be.
Excellent. Nick, really appreciate that. And it's good to learn about the journey of somebody who's on the VC side, backing all these startups to help explain, you know, from a higher level where you're getting your perspective on who you're going to back and why. So you've already touched on it a little bit there, but can you give us the insight into, first and foremost, who are Differential Ventures? And then secondly, what was the idea behind the targeting the specific area of the market which you're focused on, which of course is AI, data, and machine learning?
Yeah, we're a pretty unique group. So we're three partners and one analyst today. We'll be expanding the team in the not too distant future as we ramp up our second and third funds in the near future here. You know me, and my partner Mitchell is similar type profile as me, long time entrepreneur, bought, sold, ran a whole bunch of companies across the US and Europe. Like me, I think he hit a point where he was just kind of burnt out on the operational side of things. I think unique characteristic for VCs is being focused on one business all day, every day can be a little bit draining, a little bit taxing for us and how we operate. And VCs just kind of gives you the outlet to let your brain roam a little bit further. And so Mitchell, before joining Differential, spent about 5 years with Scout Ventures here in New York, great fund, and was a venture partner there, and was probably my second or third investor in Differential Fund One. And signed up with us as a venture partner initially back in January of 2018, and then became a full partner with us a little while later. So Mitchell and I are more kind of like the business guys and the operations, people who have hands-on experience running departments and businesses. And then our other partner, David Magerman, really filled a huge hole that we felt we had, which is the technical expertise of what we do. So David is a PhD in computer science from Stanford. His thesis from his PhD is still commonly referred to as one of the leading and innovative approaches to applying data science to natural language processing. And he went on to really be one of the critical minds and architects behind Renaissance Technologies and their highly secretive and absurdly successful quantitative hedge fund, and had a 22-year career with them. When he left there, was kind of figuring out what to do next, and we met through a common connection in Israel. Actually, came back, and he was just a perfect fit for us. And taking my product management, sales, marketing background, and data, and just enthusiasm for the market, and bringing in his technical expertise. And it was just like from day one, a very logical fit that he would be a great partner for us at Differential. So that's how we came together. And then we brought in Tiffany as our analyst just about a year and a half ago. And she's just done an amazing job of keeping all of us on track, and is great at sourcing new deals for us and helping all of our portfolio companies, and really being our anchor in terms of due diligence and making sure we're thoroughly thinking through all the things that we need to when we're making an investment. So that's us. And the thesis really just came from my background and David's background of saying there's a massive opportunity out there. It gets talked about a lot theoretically and in the news, but the nuts and bolts of how you make AI, machine learning, data science successful is massively complex. And there just aren't enough VCs out there that have that combination of both technical expertise to say, here's what's going to work today. Here's what's going to be viable and sustainable into the future versus, what's kind of, bubblegums and bubblegum and Band-Aid type AI. And then Mitchell and I with the approach, all right, how does this actually get brought to market, deployed successfully, and build long-term viable companies.
Excellent. So we're fast approaching the 3-year birthday of Differential. I think next month is when you're 3 years in business. I know from conversations you and I have had, it's been going incredibly well. Can you take us through the journey from when you first launched, bringing in the portfolio, the first account, to now where it's grown to? What were some of the main challenges that you faced along the way? But more importantly, what have been some of the major wins?
It's been such a journey. I always say, growing up in the Boston area, like if I couldn't have played shortstop for the Boston Red Sox, I'd want to be doing what I'm doing, and that's true every single day. The journey for me actually started with probably a lot of overconfidence and naivety about what it takes to launch a venture capital fund, and you know, there's been a lot of growing pains along the way for me and the business and everything else, but we've been pretty fortunate. The kind of common refrain in the venture world is to be good is to get lucky in your first 5 years. And you know, remarkably, our first investment was into a company called Ocrolus, which I know you know fairly well. You had Peter on previously, their CTO. So you know, when your first experience is a company like Ocrolus, and I've been on the board there for about 3 years, you learn a lot very quickly in the venture world, and it lends you a lot of credibility and using that investment to continue to raise your fund, which we did. We had a long, slow fundraise of about 18 months, largely based off of my naivety going into it. Since then, when things really, really stabilized for us and took off was at the beginning of 2019, frankly. So in 2018, we made three investments. Fortunately, Ocrolus was the first. And sitting here today, we now have 14 companies in the portfolio. Have had a couple of really, significant markups in our investment, but still have a really young, group of founders that are doing some pretty innovative things. And it's rewarding and exciting to see them every day. I mean, we are a pretty hands-on fund when we need to be. We tend to take board seats or board observer seats. And in the earliest days of a company, there's no playbook. It's roll your sleeves up and figure out how to get stuff done and convince people to use and pay for your products. And that's how we spend a lot of our time. When we make an investment, every company needs something different at different points in time of their journey. The needs of Ocrolus at a Series B stage company are very different than what a company we may seed investment into in January or March of 2020 are today. So it's very versatile, very very different. Each day has a very different dynamic to it. So I always think that the earliest days of a startup, what we're trying to accomplish is, can we help the team, the founding team, arbitrage their products? So can we get them into their buyers, their customers more easily? And can we help them recruit the right talent to come in and take a chance on early stage startup? And lastly is, just the kind of corporate governance side of things. I think it's actually one of the most important things we do and probably one of the most annoying for founders. But the difference between companies that are just really well run and buttoned up and reporting and have everything ready to go when they go out for fundraising, their Series A, versus those that are a little bit looser and just trying to run and break things is pretty substantial. So we try and put those guardrails on. And then lastly, it's just kind of like the emotional support of knowing when to push and knowing when to be a little bit more of a hand holder.
It's great to learn because I know, from me, I'm obviously personally interested in what happens behind the scenes on the VC side, supporting all these innovative AI and data companies. So it's good to learn how you view it through the lens of the backer. Knowing what you know now, and obviously you're getting better over time, you're learning from all the mistakes and you're failing forward. But when you look at the selection of companies in your portfolio, other than the fact that you've decided to be hyper specialized in the space of data and AI, what are the key things that you as a team of of VC partners that you look for when identifying potential companies you would like to back? And, you know, what have your 14 portfolio companies got in common other than they all are operating within AI?
So I'd say we break it up a couple of different ways. You know, first at a very simple level is we look at AI through AI broadly through three lenses. You know, that top one is kind of the application layer, applied AI companies that are using data science, machine learning for a specific use case. And then Oculus would be a good example of that. Another company in our portfolio is Naukri. You know, they're an applied AI solution for hiring and talent analysis. And then next layer down from that is we look at platforms. So there are a number of companies out there that are using and designing technology that's meant to be used by data scientists and data engineers to help those folks better deploy AI and machine learning and data science throughout their organization. Going to our portfolio, a company like Pienso fits that mold pretty well. And then lastly is kind of the core infrastructure of how do we just get everything to work the right way, and what needs to be monitored and tweaked and ensure that the technology, the infrastructure supports really big, heavy, complex algorithms and potentially massive data sets. For us, that's probably like Mona Labs, who's very focused on data observability, algorithm observability, to make sure there's not drift or bias being introduced into your algorithms, which will ultimately erode your performance. And then Concertia, which is overall system optimization and performance. So that's how we look, first of all, at the AI market. And secondly, it's kind of like more generic VC stuff of, all right, we've got of market team and product, what's most important for us. And I think, for us, it's definitely market, but we, being a thesis-driven fund, we do an awful lot of research ahead of time, not necessarily research for research sake, but research to help us be better, faster, and quicker at analyzing companies, putting them into, some relatable box and figuring out how, each team, each company we look at is different, and sort of like breaking the boundaries of that box a little bit to add unique value to the ecosystem. So we just need to have like a constant ongoing baseline understanding of that and figuring out what makes a good seed investment, because timing is just so critical. See a lot of, really amazing companies, cool technology that, if they'd started maybe 2 or 3 years ago, would be in better shape for seed investment. Given that we're not going to lead a Series A deal, we just can't really look at it. We just don't buy into the market timing. So that's number one for us. Number two is really the team. Ideal world is we have a team that collectively has, first of all, the technology, AI, machine learning chops to build something that is scalable and defensible in the long term. Secondly is some other partner, employee, colleague, investor, whatever, that can really be the business face or arm of the organization. And sometimes that's all the same founder, but there are unique beasts out there that can do that. But more often than not, looking for a combination of those two, because we definitely do lean more towards more technically oriented founders and founding teams. The irony of that is that, engineering problems can always be sort of calculated and mathed out. How many engineers do we need? And how much time do we have? And back into a dollar amount to make that happen and build out new products, solve technical debt issues. Whereas if you can't sell, like, that's just unlimited risk. And it can be a hard thing to solve for if you don't have the right founding team in place. You don't have the ability to go out and recruit a really good sales leader at a very early stage of the company. Lastly is actually product. So investing at the seed stage, we definitely are evaluating the team more so than the current state of the product. Because we know version one, version 0.1, version two is usually not where the company will be 12, 18, 24 months down the road. So we're really, you know, evaluating product, seeing that it has dynamics of how it will fit into the market, be used, but mostly that the team is capable of scaling and building out something that will be viable in 5 and 10 years down the road, which is usually our holding period on investment.
So I hope any aspiring tech entrepreneurs have listened to this and taken some good notes, because you've just given the blueprint of how to set themselves up for success. So
that's the pitch, man. Like, yeah, I always say, you know, just to remind, like, that we have, you know, we see, put that in context, JP, we see, you know, almost 4,000 deals, pitch decks per year. And we literally look at every deck. Somebody on our team looks at every single deck. It, you know, we can't respond to everybody with thoughtful comments, but everything gets looked at. And, you know, when you're going through that many decks, you kind of want to get to the point very quickly. So I always advise a founder, like, you need to get, you've got 45 seconds of, you know, my attention or Tiffany's attention or whoever on our team. If you don't have, you know, your big selling points in the first 5 slides, like, it's going to be tough to you know, convince us to spend some more time with you. So get right to the point fast.
Yeah, really good to know. A final one for you, Nick. I want to get your perspective on the change and the shift we've seen in enterprise level AI, data science, machine learning, and it's even been further pushed on by the impact of COVID. So you sit at a high level. You, as you said, you get to look at, you know, several hundred pitches in going into the thousands. What have you noticed that's changed in the last, say, 12 months of doing what you're doing with Differential, and what are you most excited about looking ahead?
I think what I'm most surprised about, honestly, about Differential, and largely this is because we have a resource like David to help vet this, vet the technology and the processes behind data science and engineering. You know, I've been a product manager. I've run teams of engineering, but not at the granular level that he understands. And you know, his background has helped us avoid some serious missteps. But you know, if you ask me, like, my comfort level, where I probably would have spent most of my time investing if left to my own devices, was at that top, you know, application layer of AI. Because I'm an MBA. Like, I see the world in, you know, frameworks and I think in like, you know, checklists. So, you know, for me, like, I see a business problem, I see a product that solves it, and, you know, before pre-David would beg, borrow, and steal tech resources to vet that. What I've seen and learned and had developed the confidence to go invest in is really more those second and third tiers of platforms like a Pienso of analyzing data and building tools for data scientists and the infrastructure. Without David's background, I don't think we would have gotten to that comfort level. But I also feel pretty strongly that that's where the best returns are going to come in the future, which is, you know, quite a flip from venture capital backed companies over the last 15, 20 years or so, which, you know, with the rise in SaaS solutions, you know, we've really had a lot of just pure end user functions move to the cloud, become SaaS oriented, become lighter, you know, easier to deploy, easier to manage, easier to license and control licensing on. And that's great. And we're probably, you know, nearing the tail end of some of those and new applications coming in to disrupt them. But I really think that the bigger, broader market opportunity is really in kind of the nuts and bolts of the engineering and the infrastructure of AI and machine learning. So, you know, first of all, I think that's been a surprise to me from where my head was originally. And then secondly is, you know, we've been anticipating, I would say, an enterprise revolution and modernization for a long time now. And it really hasn't come. You know, I think 2008, 2009, during that recession of the financial crisis. And, you know, that point, you know, mobile phones became much more pervasive in society, and we had kind of the, you know, the consumer revolution. Enterprise has been slow. And then all of a sudden, March 13th came of 2020, and all of a sudden these, you know, giant organizations running on dinosaur technology had to figure out how to support, you know, a 100% remote employee base. And that just, you know, kicked off a huge transformation that accelerated a lot of what we expected would come over the next 5 or 10 years, but really started, like, initiated it now. And I think people are trying to figure out how to, you know, mitigate risk in their business going forward, but still just sort out a bunch of these issues in the short term. I, you know, jokingly have said that we made two investments right before quarantine in March, that I'm hoping in 10 years I'll have the ego to say it is the most brilliant decision we ever made to invest in these companies. But, you know, truly it was a little bit longer term thesis that got accelerated. But we invested in a company called Siolo that's based on zero trust authentication and getting people online in a much faster and more secure way, and bypassing a lot of the, you know, painful VPN processes of today. And secondly, it was Naukri, you know, remote interviewing tool for assessing soft skills in people and creating a, you know, a broader profile so that employees can, you know, safely hire people from a distance and via video analysis, and also reduce bias and discrimination in their hiring process. And those two things, I think, just have been really accelerated in the last 6-7 months.
Amazing. Yeah, as you said in your intro, look, a lot of it is about timing, but it seems like you've got a knack for timing things well. So
yeah, I'm not going to lie. We definitely did not model out, you know, half of the country small businesses being closed by the government for 6 months. That was nowhere in our planning. So I can't take credit for that, but it's definitely, you know, boosted the portfolio in some areas and what's otherwise a really brutal time for a lot of people.
Excellent. Nick, listen, this has been a pleasure. I really appreciate you coming on, giving your perspective on the market from the investor VC side, talking about how you identify what makes a data and AI company worth backing, and your perspective on what's in store for the future. So thank you very much.
Thanks, JP. Thanks for having me.
AI in Action is brought to you by Aulis International, covering your business's staffing, consulting, and networking needs. Aulis offer an exec search program. Aulis can help you discover how data science and AI can transform your company. With our unrivaled network of C-suite executives and senior AI professionals, we offer retained search services across the US and Europe. Get the Aulis advantage. Become a member of the Aulis community and enjoy some of the following. AI meetups. Once a month, our community gathers to listen to some of the leading experts in the world of data science and AI. Our speakers come from all over the world, including Dublin, Boston, and Frankfurt. We also have our AI mentors. Our experts will provide mentoring to Aulis members. And don't forget our AI in Action podcast. Each week, we have guests from all over the world talking us through their education, career, and more. Become an Aulis member and get the Aulis advantage. For more information and to sign up for our newsletter, log on to www.aulis.com. That's www.aulis.com. Aulis International, empowering through AI.